share a few things from the triumphal entry that we see there of Jesus coming into the temple on that first Palm Sunday. We did just read that long selection from the crucifixion on Good Friday, and we will reconsider that again on this Friday evening as we enter into Holy Week. Of course, Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, we'll be here at 6:15 for the Last Supper and also the crucifixion. So if you can join us for that, that would be great. If not, you might just pray on your own or however you can on those days. What I want to do this morning is look at something that happened in that triumphal entry, and the gospel we're going to look at is from the first page of our bulletin there from Luke. And you might want to hold that close. I don't know if this is your experience. It's often my experience. And I imagine it is for you too. There are times during the week, almost every week, where a song that we have sung here on a Sunday morning goes through my mind. And it stays in my mind. Or if you are listening to some of the Christian radio stations where they play some contemporary music, or even not contemporary music, you might find that there's a song that comes across on the radio that you hear while you're driving around, and that stays with you, and that can stay with you for a long time. Now, that is not a psychological deficiency. That is not your mind just wandering to wherever you think it needs to go. That is the Spirit of God tapping you on the shoulder, getting your attention to draw you back into praising Jesus in the manner in which he is worthy of being praised. That is the Spirit of God saying, come and praise him some more. Right there, right on the spot. And that is something that is an extremely important and foundational part of being a disciple of Jesus. And that is having a lifestyle of praise. Now, last week we looked at extravagant love and what it is to express that extravagant love to Jesus. Today, I want to apply that to praise. There's extravagant praise that we can express to Jesus. And it really is a lifestyle, a habit. And when it becomes a habit, it may not seem so extravagant, but to think about it and to think about increasing it, it feels extravagant. And that is a very good thing. Because you will find that you are what you love. And what you love is something that you keep repeating. You do it over and over and over again. Some of you love chocolate. I know that you do. And you eat it over and over again. There are things that you do where you have habits at different times of the day. And you love those things. You might even find yourself saying, I love doing this. And it might just be a small thing, but as it builds up and gives you some solidity and even some feeling of identity in what you do, that can be a marvelous, wonderful thing. And you love that. When you are having a habit of praising God, you're developing a love for God. You begin to love praising God. You begin to love giving God what he is worthy of receiving. You even begin to find that what happens with our praises is that we discover that praising God is something that he prompts in us first. We love God because he first loved us. We praise because the Spirit of God sent that song through our minds one more time and prompts us to praise him. It is because of him that we are praising him. And we praise him because he's worthy of being praised, but we also praise him because he says, come and praise some more. And that's what we see is going on here. We see that Jesus is approaching the path down the Mount of Olives. And, I'm just very impressed with Jesus here. I'm impressed with Jesus for a lot of reasons. But he gets on this animal that's been unbroken, an unbroken donkey. I mean, they said it very nicely. Where is it? Here it is. You'll find there a colt that has never been ridden. Okay, right. And you're going to ride it. Okay, right. Very impressed Jesus could do that through a crowd. But that's some of the, I mean, he's a wild man, but that's some other sermon. What we see here is that he is approaching the Mount of Olives, the path down the Mount of Olives, going towards the temple. In other words, he is heading towards his death, his trial, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He's doing it. He just left Jericho, where he encountered Zacchaeus and all that went on there. Now he's here in Jerusalem, and he's going to the culmination of the purposes for which he came. And he knows that that's going to happen. And what's going on here is the crowd is praising him with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they've been seeing. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest heaven. And who knows what else they were shouting to praise him. And sure enough, the Pharisees didn't like it. Did you notice that? And they figured, well, we're not going to get this crowd to quiet down. Maybe we can tell Jesus and persuade him to get the crowd to quiet down. Now, notice what Jesus says. I tell you, it's the very last sentence of this gospel. I tell you that if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Now, that's an incredible thing that Jesus says. Absolutely incredible. Here he is, knowing he's going to his death, and he is receiving the praises of all the people that are around, except for the Pharisees, of course, and receiving it and encouraging it, and he is defending the ones who are praising him as if he was a king. You know, when you get on a cult like this and you enter a city, that's how a king entered a city who was about to take over. That's what they did. Everybody knew that. That's what they were praising him for. It's one of the things they were praising him for. That's why the Pharisees were upset. And Jesus said, nope, this is going on because this is the way that it is. And the praises were for him as King of all kings, Lord of all lords. And they were praising him for all of that. Now, I think it's very, very interesting that Jesus used the phrase, the stones would cry out. If these people did not, then the stones would cry out. Stones are very symbolic in some ways in the scriptures. You know, you have the stones that were set up after Israel went into the promised land. And they took these huge stones, boulders probably, out of the Jordan River after they had miraculously crossed that into the promised land and set up these monuments to God. You might remember Jacob at Bethel and the dream of Jacob's ladder. His pillow was a stone. You might remember from Revelation, there's Jesus, the risen Jesus, who promises to give those who overcome a white stone with your name written on it, a name that only you will recognize. There's all other kinds of references to the stones. But the one that I find the most interesting, and that Jesus would use that reference here, is this. Do you remember the first Sunday of Lent, just a few weeks back? There's the temptation of Jesus. And the first temptation that Satan gives to Jesus is this. Turn these stones into bread. He's getting at that deep temptation that we all have for provision. Are we going to have enough? Are we going to be all right? That's a very tempting thing that many of us feel often. And Jesus, after 40 days of not eating anything, that he was sorely tempted with that. Of course, he turned that away, said, no, we only live by bread. He does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here, Jesus says, these stones, if I'm not praised by these people, these stones would cry out. Now, what did he do? That which was a satanic symbol of provision from somewhere else out of the hand of God, a satanic symbol of temptation. Jesus proclaimed it for what it is, a potential instrument of praise. That's what it is. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, what are the stones in your soul? What are those places that are there in your heart and in your soul that sometimes block the flow of the Spirit, Sometimes don't let the praises of God keep coming forward. Sometimes keep you from forgiving others or loving others or seeing what Jesus is doing in others or whatever it is that God might be prompting you to do. Are there stones in there that block the flow of that stream? Those are the stones that will cry out the praises of Jesus. Those are the places when our Redeemer touches those very spots that become places of praise. Those are the spots that when they are healed, when those wounds on our souls are healed, when those memories are redeemed, when the things that we can't let go of in the past are now in the hand of Jesus and they're no longer in ours, those are the places where praise will be flowing from us because He has come in and touched them. He has prompted us again and said, yes, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Every wound would be healed. Every tear wiped away. Every hunger taken care of. And it's in those spots that the praise flows. Now the question, I think, is how do you experience that? How do you flow into that? And I think there's a number of ways to do it. There's kind of the spontaneous ways. You know, when a song from church comes into your mind, just let that go in your heart. Or if you want to sing it out loud, that's fine. You know, if somebody's around and you don't want to sing it out loud, that's fine. Just sing it in your heart. You know, whatever the case may be, just let that flow for a little bit. If you're in your car and a Christian song comes on, you think, wow, that's great. That's the stuff. Just go ahead and sing along with that or hum or, you know, whatever. Just let the flow of praise keep coming. Now, that's all spontaneous. I would suggest that something that can go deeper and be more foundational in our lives is having a daily habit of praising the Lord as part of our daily prayer time. Now, I don't want to suggest that means that you say to God, you know, my life is awful. I've had this terrible thing just happen. I've lost a lot of money. This person just did something awful to me, whatever it is. But hey, praise you for that. I'm not suggesting that. You don't have to do any of that. What I'm suggesting is this. In your prayer time, you might tell God, what are your complaints? What are the things bad that have happened to you? Where are you hurt? Where are you suffering? Where are you in need? Where are you sick? Whatever, you can tell God all of that. You can tell God your disappointments. And that is absolutely just fine. Believe me, He can take it. You're not going to put Him off with any of that. But then you add to that your thanks. Lord, I thank you for whatever it is, whatever comes to mind. And the Spirit of God will bring something to mind. And you might say, Lord, I want to pray for your provision for this or that, or for somebody else who you know needs something. That all of that is part of it. And reading some scripture maybe is part of it. And then be praising God just because He's worthy of being praised. Just because He is who He is. Just because He loves you no matter what you have done. Just because He is there for you and will never leave you. And if there's some terrible things going on, you can thank Him and praise Him because He will never leave you. Or just, if you can't think of a reason, just let Him have it. Take one of the songs that we sing here and just let Him have the praise that comes from your heart. And do that every day. Especially the days when you come along and you say, I just don't feel like praising God or anybody else for that matter. That's the moment to praise Him for His beautiful character, the love that He has, and who He is. When you do that every day, every single day, a habit starts forming, a rhythm starts coming along. And you begin to see that you are being transformed into the likeness of the one you praise. Something starts happening within you that you cannot do on your own. You begin believing what Jesus believes and thinking things that Jesus thinks. And you could not do that under your own willpower. You couldn't decide and say, that's it. I'm gonna be towards this other person the way Jesus is, and I'm gonna stick with it till I get there. And you never get there until you start being transformed into his likeness. And what happens as you praise him is that your love for him increases. And you love praising him, that increases. Even if things aren't going well in your life at that moment, you love praising him. And then you are what you love. You become what you do. You can think all kinds of things and never get close to it, but what you do is what you become. That would be something, I think, if you tried a Lenten discipline and it didn't work, or you forgot it, or you slipped, or you fell, or it never happened, it's not too late. You could take this one. Praising God at some point every single day. When you get up, when you go to bed, when you're walking around, when you're about your business, when you're getting into somebody else's business, whatever it is, wherever, just be praising him. Now, my question for you this morning is this. How is God prompting you to praise him, especially on that daily basis? Is there something, some way that's coming to mind right now? Is there something you feel God might be asking you to do to praise him? Is there a time of prayer he wants you to take up? Is there something he wants you to add into what you're already praying? Is there a manner of you saying to God, glory to God on the highest and peace to his people on earth, or whatever it is that he's asking you to do to praise him? Because it's you. He wants to hear your praises. That's why he taps you on the shoulder. That's why he puts those songs into your mind. He wants to hear your praises. You know, the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, in the last chapter, I believe it's the last chapter, speaks of a book that God has kept, a record in heaven that God keeps. And it's a record of this. Whenever his people praise him. You know, Terry Fulham used to say, our God is used to the praises and music and worship of all the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. But when his people on earth start praising him, he says, hey, quiet. Did you see that, what they did there at St. Francis? Enter that into the book. I believe that will happen every day that you do that. He quiets the angels and says, hey, that one. Enter that one into the book. He loves hearing it. Just loves hearing it. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you draw us closer to you. We thank you that you are worthy of all praise and that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We thank you for all the things that you do to draw us closer to you. And we ask that more so than ever before, you would prompt us to praise you. You would draw us to that daily praise, that the rhythm of our life would include praising you every day, and that we would become the ones you've created us to be. For the glory of your name. Amen.